Okay, Dr. Phillips.
Sure. What we have been seeing in recent days is a significant number of individuals who we would classify as being very low risk, having no identifiable exposures to persons or settings that have been associated with COVID, are presenting for testing. And this has created a significant strain on the sites that do the swabbing as well as on the lab. And we have given guidance to the site, one, to the public, and two, to the sites generating the swab, to prioritize, to ensure that we prioritize those individuals who are at increased risk. So they are primary contact, they've been in a setting where there's been a clearly identified exposure. We want to make sure we get those folks first. We continue to acknowledge that individuals may choose to seek testing otherwise, but where there is a significant demand, we have to ensure that we prioritize those who are at identified increased risk. So what we have been doing is mobilizing additional resources for the polyclinics. Additional data entry persons have been mobilized to be made available to the polyclinics. They've gone through our orientation training this morning, and they'll be placed at the polyclinics that are doing swabbing. We've also mobilized additional resources to be made available at the lab in terms of filtering and prioritizing, as well as getting back the results. We've been using a system where the results are filtered back to the individual providers, and that has been working well. But as the volumes of samples and the volumes of results have increased almost exponentially, we've had to move, at least temporarily, to a system where we're going to be giving back, in the first instance, the negative results. And this has begun with the two polyclinics, Brantford Tate and Eunice Gibson, where we're giving back the negative results by email with some contextual information that helps individuals understand. This is a negative result. It means that at the time when the sample was taken, there was no virus detected. And but additionally, depending on if you had a specific exposure and when the sample was taken, then you may need some follow-up. So these are some of the measures that have been put in place, including reviewing the standard operating procedures for the giving back of results so that everybody is doing the same thing in the same way. Some of these systems have needed review because of, while they were working well, they've needed significant review because of the significantly increased volumes. And we've been doing that review and mobilizing additional resources to ensure that results, especially those for priority situations where persons have identified potential exposures, are prioritized.
And there is an additional component because more and more people are asking for tests to be done to exit the country. So this is another burden that we have to absorb because persons who are traveling may sometimes require a test at their intended destination. And this is another group of persons, in addition to persons being tested on day 5, when they enter Barbados, as the protocol says, the persons being tested because of contact tracing and the persons being tested because they require a test to exit Barbados.
From Anne and Dr. Larder, what are your thoughts on what you've just heard?
Can I just say that, just a couple of questions, really. One is that an established protocol procedure with PCR testing, particularly when you have a lot of samples that are mainly likely to be negative is pooling PCR swabs and batch testing. I just wonder whether Dr. George or Dr. Phillips had knew whether that was being used or whether it's being considered, because that's a way of getting through a lot of samples. I mean, particularly, say, visitors who, by and large, are coming in negative. That might be a way forward, particularly to try and get rid of some of the backlog. And the second thing it was mentioned, I think, at one of the press conferences earlier in the week, that the Ministry of Health had sent off samples from the island, I'm not sure to PAHO or to a different organisation, for genetic analysis to try and confirm whether or not either the new UK variant or the new South African variant are actually circulating on the island, which is, to my mind, very important information to have. When are you going to get these results back?
So thanks for that. Yes, the new genomic type has been in circulation probably as early as September. But as with many of outbreaks, it takes a while to gather speed in a particular population. We have had offers from PAHO and from CARFA to do some genomic sequencing, and these are being actively considered as a matter of priority. I don't want to give information that I can't corroborate, but we are working with even CARFA on this issue. And I don't want to give a timing on it, but it's important that we get a better understanding.
Yeah, but Dr. George.
Yes.
Dr. George, this is so urgent. The kind of timeline that we have been given is frightening. I mean, right. Well, as people will tell you, where the grass is growing, the horse is starving. And this timeline between being able to get CARFA or whoever else or PAHO to come in here and verify what is happening. I mean, this is shocking. Because of the nature of these two variants.
David?
Yes?
I give assurances that this is the Ministry of Health. There is no one that has done the sequencing in the region, not to the best of my knowledge. Barbados will try to get ahead of its game and make sure that the samples are sent for genomic sequencing.
Wow.
That's what I would say on that. The other issue, it is a priority in this ministry. The other issue is that Dr. Phillips would like to speak a bit more on the issues surrounding how the EOC works and the contribution of BAMF, etc. On a national response, we really need a national response. What we don't need in Barbados at this point in time is persons who have the ability to assist just criticize from the periphery and leave it up to only government to be a champion in this. I respectfully ask that this be a national and nationwide approach. Phillips, I don't know if you want to say anything.
I agree wholeheartedly. Can I say something, David?
Yes, Anne, you were about to
make a comment. Yes, I'm a little dismayed at 2 points. A little dismayed that Dr. George saw, you know, my expression of concern as a criticism. Really, it's not meant to be such. I know everybody is working very hard at this, but I do have concerns, and I really am calling as a concerned citizen, if you want to look at it that way. Regarding your invitation, you know, I'm easily flattered. My friends will tell you, but just as David had mentioned to you, I've spoken to many doctors at BAM, and there are at least three that I can name, but I won't. Who, off the top of the bat, know at least 10 times more about this infection and the outbreak in Barbados than I do. So, you know, I can only defer, you know, to invitations to those members of BAMP. Regarding the comment about the parties, you know, people, we were doing well before, and then, you know, people started to relax and stuff. Now, if you agree with me on the root cause analysis, you would appreciate that no party in Barbados, no crews, no bus crawl can cause an outbreak of COVID unless the virus gets into the community out of quarantine. And that is why I keep harping on the root cause analysis. There are only three things that can possibly cause an outbreak of COVID here since we're an island. Either people breached the quarantine, either people, and I think this, you know, you have changed the quarantine protocols, either the quarantine protocols themselves where people were mingling while in quarantine, that's how it got into the community, or the protocol at the border in terms of retesting. Those are the only three ways in a root cause analysis. Those are the only three ways that would cause this outbreak. Not a party, not a cruise, not a bus crawl. And so this is why I harp on the issue, and this is why, and furthermore, you said we were doing well before, and now we're not doing well, and these are the factors that change. That is a hypothesis, because the investigation is not over. My hypothesis, and I may be proven wrong when the investigation is complete, is that the factors globally have changed. So the prevalence of the disease has more than doubled in the United Kingdom in terms of new cases. The variant that is circulating in the United Kingdom and the U.S. is now a more infectious variant. And so for me, my hypothesis is that these factors have changed externally and globally, and perhaps, in my hypothesis, we need to relook the protocol in terms of having people tested early when they come to Barbados, because there are only three ways that the virus can come from the root cause analysis. And as I said to you, in the literature, the current mechanism that we are using produces a reduction in transmission from travelers by 65%, whereas the suggestions from our BAMP colleagues, the esteemed BAMP colleagues, reduces it around 95% to 99%. Not perfect, but better than 65%.
What's your response, Dr. George?
That was given in a good spirit. And we will work on this. Barbados will be able to overcome this. I honestly believe that, but...
Yeah, but we need to get more specific in terms of the concern that has been raised about
absolutely
this timeline for quarantining. Is there any attempt by the government to revisit that in light of what we are seeing internationally? That worked for us before.
The systems that we have are constantly reviewing the procedures that we have and looking to see what changes are appropriate in the context. We appreciate the contribution by BAMP and the wider scientific community. And as they have mentioned, the measures do not reduce risk to zero. But the measures reduce risk, and we manage risk. And this is something Ministry of Health has been saying from the beginning, that we manage risk, and we manage risk in the context of being a tourist-oriented economy. So I think that is important. But we certainly have received interventions from BAMP, with including supporting scientific information on the various recommendations and their views. And we have reviewed these in making our decisions about the protocols and changes to the protocols.
One of the questions I have for you, Dr. Phillips, is this. Why is it so costly to get this test done privately? I am told that whatever the doctors are charging privately, $200 is going to the lab. And I'm looking at it from the point of view of Barbadians who could take some of the pressure off the public system. If they go public, they don't have to pay, from what I understand. But if they go private, then that $200 is going to the lab, and that is helping to keep the cost really high. Can you talk to us about that?
Okay, so yes, there is a charge if individuals have their samples taken privately. Those funds, as I understand it, go into the consolidated fund. So that is individuals paying for the convenience of having their samples taken in a setting that is preferable or convenient for them. But the government is committed to ensuring that testing is available without cost at point of delivery for those who require it. And that's what we've continued to do with our testing sites at the polyclinics, as well as at the site that has been moved from Paragon to the parking lot of the Best of Santos lab.
So as it stands right now, we have to live with that. A policy decision would have to be made in relation to revising that particular cost. And that's not for you to make. That's at a higher level. Because you see, those funds go to the consolidated fund. Fair enough.
Yeah.
All right.
Right.
Let's take
David,
yes,
David,
yes, Dr. George.
We need to break away at 1:30.
Okay,
so,
no problem.
We could be here for another 15 minutes.
Fine. Okay. Let's talk about this in the time that you have with us now. Dr. Lauder, you had raised this issue. I think we covered that area of community spread. So let's take another call.
Can I just say that because the question wasn't answered, you know, I'm trying to put forward positive suggestions, and the pooling of swabs and batch testing is a practical way to go, as far as I understand. Yeah. I just wanted to know whether they are considering or using that technique at the Best of Santos.
It's not currently in use. It has been considered. It's not currently in use. I think we need to continue to think about what role it may be able to play. As I understand it, with pooling of samples, you're able to test essentially several samples together, and if the result is positive, then you go back and test the individuals. But if the overall result is negative, then you can move on. So that is something that is being considered, but it's not currently in place.
Okay. Let's take a call. Hello?
Good afternoon.
This is Dr. Brastax.
Good afternoon.
Yes, good afternoon.
Yeah. A question to the panel. They say you don't put new wine in old skins. We have a new variant in the air. Is this old, the system that we are using now, washing your hands, wearing a mask, and distance socializing, is that effective and appropriate for this new variant?
That's an excellent question. You know, and science is the one to be behind as usual, because we have to study these things. But you know, that's a master question, because what we do inside the island to mitigate spread of disease is determined by whether or not these hand washing, etc., works against this new variant, which is the emphasis on the changes in the border.
One thing I would add to that is that if you look at the information, the data of the spread of the new variant in the UK, particularly during the lockdown in November, in the south of the country, that new variant kept on rising, even though a lot of that area was locked down. So that would suggest that the measures of lockdown that were instigated at that time were not good enough.
How do you respond to that, Dr. George?
I don't know. Could you ask me to repeat the question?
We would agree with our colleague that a full understanding of the behavior of the new variant is emerging, and that would have to guide future measures if we understand that the way that variant would interact with particular measures to be different from the current situation, then we would have to make those adjustments. But currently, the understanding is that the effective measures to reduce risk remain the same. But the reality is, as we've agreed, is that the new variant is more easily spread or more infectious, though it does not appear to cause more severe illness.
Okay. I'm told that we are joined here by a first vice president of BAMP, Dr. Adana, it looks like Adana Grandison. Dr. Grandison, are you with us?
Hello. Yes.
Good afternoon. I want you to take advantage of the limited time that we have Dr. George with us so that you can put your perspective and, if necessary, get a response from them. So what prompts you to call?
Hi, good afternoon, everyone. Thank you for having me this afternoon. I am just here to represent BAMP because I have only recently joined the conversation in terms of hearing what was being discussed. And they spoke that, you know, we are not assisting, unless I may have interpreted it incorrectly. However, BAMP has ensured to lend assistance wherever possible from the beginning of this actual pandemic. We have attempted to assist lending our support in writing protocols, those which have been circulated and not yet circulated. We have also provided PPE to the Ministry of Health to help doctors both in the public system as well as persons wanting a response at Paragon. And I just think that as doctors, now is the time for us to come together and really provide our best effort going forward. But our concern really is the fact that as we are seeing numbers continuously increasing, we are a bit wary of the effects that this here can cause and the potential for not actually building a surge.
So tell us, what is the atmosphere among doctors at the moment?
Currently, up to our very last meeting that we had with our constituents, we were quite concerned that not enough efforts were being put forward into mounting a response for increasing numbers and how we would handle that given our very limited resources here in Barbados. This pandemic is unlike anything that anyone worldwide has ever dealt with before. And we need to be mindful that our resources are going to be very limited. We do have multiple specialists, both in the private and public spaces, that can actually handle persons if we should have any decompensation of patients. And we want to be able to provide that opportunity for persons to get the best possible care. We have seen internationally persons have spoken, including epidemiologists, have spoken widely on the impact of it. Really has nothing to do with the total and number that you have, but certainly how rapidly that increase is in terms of overwhelming your resources. And so what we are really asking is for everyone to come together, but more importantly, so that we can actually control this so that our resources are not overwhelmed.
When you say you're looking for a response, can you be more specific as to exactly what it is you're asking government to do in this regard?
We would like that the protocols certainly are given more ventilation. And we would certainly like for them to reconsider the protocols at the ports of entry, given the science that actually shows that the possibility of having a false negative decreases with increasing days post-exposure. One cannot deny that there's a possible exposure even when traveling on a plane. And so we want to give our persons the benefit of safety. So safety must come first, not just for our visitors to the island, but certainly for our locals. And I think that it is absolutely important that we potentially reconsider the length of quarantine before retesting to try to mitigate and decrease the number of false negatives we may potentially have. We don't know. This is still an ongoing situation, and we want to make sure and keep our locals and visitors alike safe.
Okay, Dr. George and Dr. Phillips.
Right. So we are going to we are going to take the advice, and we look and have a wider discussion, and we're going to also involve Dr. Corey Ford, who is a world-renowned infectious disease specialist, and we're going to look at the information given here. I just want to say this though. BAMP has been very instrumental. They have donated equipment and supplies to the Ministry of Health, which we are very thankful for. They have written protocols for pediatric and young children, which has been shared with the Ministry of Education with respect to basic principles involving the reopening of schools. So they have done, and they have done quite a bit with respect to the national response. And we will continue to work with them. As I said, it is not only necessarily a doctor-centered approach. We welcome discussions from our public health nurses, persons in environmental health, persons who have knowledge in port health issues, because we may not necessarily have all those resources at our disposal. Thank you.
Okay, and her point is perhaps supported by this person who wrote. This person said the whole notion of finding a patient zero is now out through the window. The root cause is the ridiculously short protocol of 5 days. 72 hours prior to travel means people can be out of Barbados quarantine in 2 days. This protocol will therefore appear to work because many travelers will leave with negative second tests only to be positive later in the community. And this person says the guest doctors are 100% correct in laying the blame on what they call the recklessly loose entry protocol. It is not complex as indicated by the CMO. So, you know, there are people out there who...
Thanks for that. Right. And thanks for that information.
Okay. One more call before you all go. That is the doctors, the chief medical officer, and Dr. Phillips, before you go at 1:30. Let's take one more call. Hello. Welcome to Dr. Brass Tacks.
Hi, yes, you're are you hearing me?
Hello?
Are you hearing me?
Yes, I am.
Yes. What I want to, first of all, I think I'd go with Dr. George. The guys are trying their very, very best. Please. I could understand a person that have a test for COVID and that they're anxious to get back the results. It doesn't work like that. Everybody's clustering the gentleman all the time. I think he's doing a wonderful job. That is number one. Keep it up, Dr. George. I want to know why I cannot hear anybody talk. They tell you to cover your nose, cover your mouth, but what about your eyes? That is something I want to know. Could one of the doctors elaborate on that for me so it can make it clear to me?
Okay. Thank you. Who's going to take that? Dr. Larder? I mean, you're a specialist.
These words of support are important too, because in a difficult situation, there's a lot of negativity going around. And I encourage my team. I try to work with my team because persons can easily be demoralized and suffer from burnout. I have been asking, we have asking for the teams that have been going flat out with respect to testing, to make sure that their safety and security is also a priority. They need to get days off, right? Because many of them have been working many long hours. Because we believe that this requires a very, very collective response. So that I would like to thank the persons who work at our ports of entry, particularly public health nurses, environmental health officers, or port health staff who have been working around the clock in an attempt to keep Barbados safe. And there are a lot of, we have brought on so many other staff to try to add to the national response, and all of them have been important in doing their stuff.
But Dr. Before, George, what about the testing of these persons? How are we going about trying to make sure that they are indeed kept safe? Because once there's an upsurge, it normally has implications for health personnel. So how are we dealing with that?